there, America. Leslie Marshall here on the nationally syndicated Leslie Marshall Show, the only true democracy in talk radio of, for, and by you, the people. Speaking of people, joining us tonight, Mark Levine, host of the D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop, where he serves up all the news the government does not want you to know. My type of guy and my type of program. And he also met my great producer, Marky Mark, my executive producer, Grimaldi, in D.C. at the Progressive Media Summit. And we're certainly glad to have him with us tonight. Hi, Mark. How you doing? Mark, did you and I meet last year? Did you go to the summit last year?
I think we probably did meet last year, yes.
And it wasn't memorable enough for you to remember? Or for me to remember?
Well, yeah,
I'm definitely...
I'm talking with all the senators and the muckety-mucks, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just telling you, I'm slipping. There used to be a time that men told me I was extremely memorable, unforgettable, Mark. I don't know. It's all going downhill now. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm not quite sure how to respond to that, but I'll just let it go.
You know, there are two things that have come out today that tie into what we're talking with you about tonight. And one is, how many Iraqis, a new survey shows that the Iran conflict has killed, and we're looking at numbers like a million.
Right.
And then the other is the economy, how investors are pushing for the feds to lower interest rates again. That doesn't seem to mean much to common Jane and Joe Q public. More people applying for unemployment, and the Dow Jones and, you know, the stock market just, you know, not doing well. The housing market, the economy sucks. War does suck, but this war sucks even more, and certainly for the people of Iraq when it comes to death toll. We're going to be talking tonight about how the Iraq war is negatively affecting the economy, correct?
Right.
Talk to us about
sure.
that. I mean, first of all, historically, a lot of people have said, like Vietnam, for example, the reason we are in Vietnam so long is because war is good for the economy. World War II.
It's not always good for the economy.
Okay.
It depends on whether you pay for it or not. World War II was actually good for the economy. World War II was a very expensive war, but taxes were raised to pay for it. FDR believed that taxes should be raised, and in fact, the wealthiest taxpayers paid an outstanding more than 90% of their income. I mean, these are rates that we can't even imagine today, but the highest tax rate was more than 90% in the 40s to pay for World War II. You know, your parents may remember they socked away tin cans and saved everything, and people didn't buy new things in the 40s, but the war was paid for. And that meant that when the war was done and the GIs came home and you had all that pent-up demand and you didn't have a massive debt that we have today, the 50s turned out to be a pretty good era afterwards. Compare that with Lyndon Johnson's war in Vietnam. Lyndon Johnson, a lot like George Bush, knew that the war was unpopular, and so he decided it would be more unpopular if American people had to pay for it. So he also, just like George Bush, took this country into very large debt. And that led, any economist will tell you, to the stagflation of the 1970s, when we had high unemployment and high inflation. Now, it takes some time.
And Jimmy Carter got blamed for it.
That's exactly right. Well, there were other things, too. I don't want to say it was solely Vietnam. The oil shocks of the 1970s, OPEC, you know, Middle Eastern foreign sheikhs have been getting us with oil lots of ways. So it wasn't only Vietnam. But generally, when you have this high debt, and you got to pay it back. I mean, it's very much just like living on your credit card, right? I mean, it's good for a while. You can buy a lot of nice things for a while, but then those interest rates start to really pile up. And a recent report by the Joint Economic Study of the United States Senate shows that the cost per American family, has already been more than $16,000 of Iraq alone. It's $20,000 if you include Afghanistan. And if we were to elect, say, John McCain, who wants to continue this war, 8 years from now, it would be over $45,000. So it's a lot of money. Indeed, it's $4 billion a week already, and the cost is increasing over time, not decreasing.
What I'm also wondering, I know there are a lot of Americans who feel like I do that, you know, there are no weapons of mass destruction, and that we entered this war based on a lie, and that we've entered this war based on something called oil. We have two very oil-minded guys in the White House currently, Bush and Cheney. So, you know, some folks might ask you, Mark, and I'll ask you on their behalf, why would anybody in their right mind borrow more money from China just to pay off the interest of the money we had borrowed before, to stay in a war that isn't even lucrative based on their real ulterior motive. I'll have you answer that when we come back. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Mark Levine, host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop. He serves up all the news the government does not want you to know. We'll be back with him and your calls. Pick up the phone and join us. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. If you have questions or comments about this, how the Iraq War is negatively affecting the economy, call now, 888-6-LESLIE.
That's it. These hidden shipping surcharges have got to stop. Fuel surcharge, Saturday surcharge, residential surcharge. See this vein in my neck? It wasn't there yesterday.
Stu, the United States Postal Service doesn't have any hidden surcharges, so...
When you're happy and you know it, I'm as giddy as a schoolgirl.
Office grumps rejoice. Visit USPS.com/compare to see how much you'll save.
Group hug, everybody.
No surprise pricing. It's in today's mail.
So John's doctor told him it's time to get serious about his blood pressure. Eat a healthy diet, exercise regularly, which I've been telling him to do for years, and take a dietary supplement called Amil BP every day.
The naturally derived ingredient in Amil BP has been clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood pressure. Amil BP is safe and has no side effects.
And it's so easy, he's actually doing it.
Maintain healthy blood pressure with Amil BP. Available at Walgreens, CVS, and other retailers near you.
A new voice, a new choice, and 50,000 watts to back it up. The voice of the new majority. AM 1520, WWKB Buffalo.
Believe it or not, a lot of people can't get a good night's sleep because they stop breathing periodically. It's called sleep apnea. Do I even have to explain the associated problems with that? Talk about a life-threatening medical condition. Thankfully, it can be treated, and for many people, the CPAP machine is a great solution. But I was talking to Dr. Mark Siegel at Snyder Dental Sleep Management. They're experts in CPAP alternatives. Would you believe that more than half of the people prescribed CPAP don't use it as much as they're supposed to? I mean, it does take some getting used to. The hose, the mask, the noise from the compressor, and some people, not to mention their bed partners, just can't deal with all that. And if you're one of them and you want something that's simple to use and easy to travel with, there really is a comfortable alternative, and it's offered by Snyder Dental Sleep Management. You want another chance to take your life back and get some sleep? Snyder Dental Sleep Management. Call them and schedule your complimentary consultation, 839-1470. Go to their website, buffalo.ihatecpap.com.
Danny?
My leg. Mommy.
Danny, honey, where are you? I can't see you.
I'm here, Mommy.
Okay, hold on.
I'm thirsty, Mommy.
I know, honey.
They don't know where we are, do they?
They'll be here.
Does Daddy know we're here?
He's coming.
Why is it taking so long?
Help us, please! We're in here!
They can't hear us, Mommy.
They can't see, can't breathe, can't move. They're all alone. Or so they think. The National Disaster Search Dog Foundation needs your support. It takes $10,000 to expertly train a canine firefighter search team. And every time disaster strikes, we're reminded that it's worth so much more. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO. Or visit www.searchdogfoundation.org. Be part of the search. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
What Your Ringtone Says About You by Chevy.
Traditional, artistic, prefers the finer things in life. Happy-go-lucky, optimistic. Relaxed, laid back, cool. Energetic, independent, outspoken. Ah, a 2008 Chevy Cobalt Sport with 171 horsepower high-output Ecotec engine, tuned sport suspension, iPod jack, and an EPA-estimated 32 miles per gallon highway. Translation, smart and sexy.
Cobalt from Chevy. Available in both sedan and coupe models in three trim levels, LS, LT, and top-of-the-line sport. Backed by the best coverage in America, the Chevy 100,000-mile, 5-year transferable powertrain limited warranty, whichever comes first, plus roadside assistance and courtesy transportation. Learn more at Chevy.com. See dealer for details. iPod is a mobile digital device. iPod is a registered trademark of Apple, Inc.
There, America, Leslie Marshall on the nationally syndicated Leslie Marshall Show of For and By You the People. Joining us, Mark Levine, Host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop. He serves up all the news the government does not want you to know. Here's his website. Check it out, www.radioinsidescoop.com. Mark, thank you for holding. Welcome back. Before the break, we were discussing with America Listening how the Iraq war is negatively affecting the economy. And I asked you specifically, how can that be when so many people believe the ulterior motive of going into Iraq, in addition to perhaps a small vendetta to make daddy happy and get back regarding Saddam Hussein, surrounds the issue of oil and, right. and possession of oil in Iraq and in other places in the Middle East other than Saudi Arabia?
Well, you may recall that Paul Wolfowitz said the war would pay for itself. Larry Lindsey said the war would cost $100 to $200 billion. It's now looking like it's going to cost 10 times that much. At the time, the budget director, Mitch Daniels, called that estimate very, very high. Rumsfeld said it would cost just $50 billion. And as I said, Paul Wolfowitz said we'll get so much oil, it will pay for itself. So what is going
on?
So
what happened? Yeah, what happened?
One thing is that when the oil economy works in Iraq, any oil magnate will tell you the oil is especially sweet. That's the word they use. In other words, Iraq is the second largest oil country in the world after Saudi Arabia. But it's actually easier to refine Iraqi oil. It's purer. It has less impurities. And so they thought they would make a fortune off this thing. The problem is in order to make a fortune off the oil, you have to be in control. You have to have not a lot of violence. You have to have no threats to your oil fields. If you have to spend a tremendous amount on security to protect people from blowing up your oil fields all the time, if you can't even protect an airport road to Baghdad, you can see how these costs would go up. Plus, you've got a very corrupt Iraqi government there, and they're taking a lot off the top. We've lost billions of dollars in what the CIA calls walking around money, which sounds like it's not that much until you realize that just the $100 bills would fill some 10, 18-wheelers full of $100 bills. That's a lot to walk around with. So the heart of it is that we have to realize who the war helps, because it does help some people. If you work at Halliburton, if you work at Kellogg Brown Root, of course we know that Cheney is the past CEO of Halliburton. If you work for an oil company, ExxonMobil has had record profits. If you work for a defense contractor, you are doing very well. There are people who benefit from the economy, and they're the same kind of people who give a lot to Republican campaigns. That's not you or me, but there are people getting rich off this war, and to that extent, it is a success.
Interesting. So all of this, you know, it to me, it feels like, or maybe I should ask, do you think the government's mirroring the spending habits of the population of America, or are the people, the constituency of these politicians and our president, mirroring the government's habits? Because both are in extreme debt, both are living way out of their means. I'm guilty of it as well. And both are not only living paycheck to paycheck, but beyond robbing Peter to pay Paul with the extension of credit. I mean, how many people have two or three mortgages on their house?
Right.
How many people borrow money off one credit card to pay debt on another, or to just pay bills?
Right. Well, it's interesting because way back in the 1990s, you had Ross Perot running on being a fiscal conservative. And we had a president, Bill Clinton, that actually was a fiscal conservative. We have never had surpluses like those we had at the end of his presidency. And so the Democrats found, though, that if you save money, if you pay for what you spend, the American people aren't that happy. People were complaining, oh, no, they're taking too much of our tax dollars. What the Republicans have provided over the last 8 years is the idea of spending without penalty. Again, it's very much like when you first run up all the money on your credit card. You can buy all kinds of things at a very low price. Of course, you have to pay for it later, but if you, you know, just look for the very short term, then you're okay. And it's very hard for a politician to tell the truth to the American people. Walter Mondale tried it in 1984, said, we're going to have to raise taxes. Reagan won't tell you, I just did. And he lost in a landslide. And then, of course, Ronald Reagan raised taxes. We will have to raise taxes. The Bush tax cuts have to go away because of this war. There's just no way around it. The Republicans still aren't telling you the truth about that. John McCain, Mr. Straight Talk, isn't telling you about that. And so the Republicans think they can trick the American people into believing that the debt can last forever. And a lot of Americans are foolish enough to believe it.
Oh. So what is an American taxpayer and voter to do? I mean, obviously, we have an election coming up. What should we be looking for in a candidate? And I'm not talking rhetoric. I'm talking in specifics regarding a plan to overhaul, repair, you know, fix our economy.
Well, I think that the Iraq War is the major problem of our economy. It's not the only one. There is the subprime mortgage crisis. I don't mean to take away from any of that. But it's the debt caused by the war that's the main focus of our problem. Just to give you an example, we have 45 million uninsured adults and children in America, total uninsured people for health insurance in all of the country. That's how many don't have health insurance a year. If we had no war in Iraq, we could pay for each and every one of them. It's almost exactly the same amount, about $150 billion. So it's just a matter of choices. Ron Paul, who I'm not usually quoting, but said in the Republican debate, what do? We blow up a bridge in Iraq. We then rebuild the bridge. Well, we have bridges crumbling at home. There's a lot more cost than even just the pure cost of the war. There's the economic cost, the opportunity cost, economists call it. For example, the people who died can't live productive lives, can't help the economy. If they're injured, there's huge health care costs to pay for them. We don't spend the money on our bridges, so they crumble. We don't spend the money on health care, so Americans die. There are lots more costs, not to mention the interest on the national debt. Most economists believe that the cost of war is 2 to 3 times what the actual cost in outlays are. And so they're saying that it will cost $1 to $2 trillion. Indeed, we've probably already spent $1 trillion now, and it can go to $2 trillion if a Republican is elected.
And I was just going to ask you that. If a Republican is elected, and it looks like it's going to be down to a McCain or a Romney, both of which, one is John McCain steadfastly wants to remain in Iraq. As you know, Mark, he's made many remarks to 100 or 1,000 years, definitely more war-minded, and would probably get involved in conflicts with other countries such as Iran, who knows where, maybe North Korea. More, I think, from that's his personal belief. I don't think he looks at it as it's the best thing for the country necessarily. I think it's a personal belief and ties that into it would be best for the image of the country and security for America in the long run. Then you have Romney, who honestly is just kissing the ass of the Republican Party and doesn't know what the hell he's doing when it comes to war, international affairs. He's some rich kid who, I'm from Boston. I couldn't believe my home people elected him governor. It's like he's not even from here because he has a summer home in New Hampshire. Doesn't count. Originally from Michigan, right?
Yeah,
you know, and his
right.
Daddy was a politician, but really no business, in my opinion, a really not great experience to be president. But then again, our current president didn't have that much as governor of Texas either. So, when we look at these two guys, they have loyalty to the party. They, and also this belief they just have to be opposite whatever Democrats think. What does happen if a Romney or a McCain get in your opinion, regarding war, the Iraq war specifically, and the economy, and how it will affect it more so in the 4 years ahead?
Part of this is the psychology of war. You know, we have the facts on our side, we Democrats. We have the facts, we have the numbers, we have the recession, the American people are on our side, but they have the rhetoric. They can say Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama will surrender. They'll use the S word, if you will. And for them, withdrawing is surrender. There are still Republicans today that say we surrendered in Vietnam. And I always ask them, would you wish we were still there today? Would you wish we were still paying for Vietnam today in cost of money and lives? Can you imagine our economy today if we were still in Vietnam? And actually, Vietnam today is a lot better off than it was when we occupied it. It's actually turning slowly to capitalism, slowly getting rid of its dictatorship. The heart of the question is not, can we do some good on the ground in Iraq? The heart of the question is, can we do better here? And the Republicans, I think...
And there's no question. I mean, there's no question.
Thing. It's a macho thing. It's I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to quit. Not on my watch.
I've told the story a million times, Mark, but on the air, so my listeners are going to block their ears, but you probably haven't heard it. A few years back, I was sitting in my producers, they're going to go, no, not again. No. But I was sitting in a cafe in San Francisco waiting for a friend of mine. And the World Cup, the soccer, World Cup was on.
Right.
And there was a woman next to me, and I used to play soccer in high school, but I'm not a huge follower of most sports, soccer included. And I said, who's playing? And she said, the Netherlands and Trinidad Tobago. And I said, oh, who are you voting for? She said, the Netherlands. I'm from there, and my son lives there. And she said, he's there. She goes, I keep looking for him in the audience, which is a joke at the World Cup soccer game.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, you know, at the end, you know, they tied. And they were shaking hands, and it went to a commercial break, and she started to put on her coat, and everybody in the cafe started to get up, and I looked at her, and I said, aren't you going to stay to see who won? And she said, well, no one won. Well, I said, what do you mean no one won? She goes, they tied. I said, yeah, but aren't they going to continue playing until they break the tie? And she looked at me, and she said, no. She goes, you're definitely American. And I said, yeah, I'm American. And she said, that's how Americans think. And it's so true.
Right. We have to win.
We cannot lose. There's only winning and losing. There's no area of gray. There's nothing in between. And that really is not life. And that really is not true. I mean, the greatest wins and all the greatest negotiators in the world will say the best negotiations are when both people won and both people lost something.
The other thing to recognize is there are ways to combat terrorism without fully occupying a country. For all the praise that Republicans give Ronald
especially
Reagan,
since the terrorists didn't come from Iraq, hello.
Well, exactly. that's the main thing. For one thing, we should be in Pakistan more than Iraq. But for all the praise of Ronald Reagan and destroying the Soviet Union, no one ever seems to point out that we didn't invade Moscow. We didn't. We didn't invade St. Petersburg. We didn't send a single troop. What we did is we built up our military. They built up theirs. And you know what? They couldn't afford the high military cost. And so they imploded. They couldn't afford the high military spending.
Just the military. One of the problems that America has, in my opinion, Mark, and I think you'd agree with me, is a Western brand of democracy, which is funny. We don't even practice in this country. We're a republic that tries to conduct itself as a democracy, but I can find many holes in that flaws in that idea. Yeah, we'll be back. Mark Levine is our guest. Pick up the phone and join us. You have questions, you have comments, you have concerns, opinions. We want to hear them. This is your talk show of for and by you, the people. Mark Levine, host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop. Check out his website during the break. We'll be back in a moment. It is www.radioinsidescoop.com. Don't go away.
The point is, it's American casualties. We got to get Americans off the front line, have the Iraqis, as part of the strategy, take over more and more of the responsibilities. And then I don't think Americans are concerned if we're there for 100 years or 1,000 years or 10,000 years.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show. Give her a call now at 888-6-LESLIE.
Americans paid over $65 billion in interest payments alone last year. Are you one of them? Don't be embarrassed. The average household owes over $25,000 in credit card debt, and 65% of those households can only afford to make the minimum monthly payment. 90% of those payments are just interest. Are you running a hopeless financial marathon?
I can't keep this up. I need relief.
You can finally rest easy. Debt Relief USA has helped thousands of people just like you. If you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt and are getting nowhere making minimum monthly payments, call the specialists at Debt Relief USA. USA, 800-426-1054.
Debt Relief USA cleaned up my credit card problems, and I saved almost 60% of what I owed. I'm saving tons of money just in interest payments.
Debt Relief USA can typically save you about half of what you owe. You can truly be debt-free in less than 36 months. For your free consultation, call 800-426-1054. That's 800-426-1054. Become debt-free now with Debt Relief USA. Call 800-426-1054.
Winter time means nippy weather, cozy fires, and skin irritations. Get Gold Bond Anti-Itch Cream. Winter skin it, get the quick fix. Indoor heat it, get the quick fix. Gold Bond Anti-Itch Cream. It helps stop winter skin irritations fast with two maximum strength medicines. Got a winter time itch? Get the quick fix. Gold Bond Anti-Itch Cream for those winter, parched, dry, irritated itches. It's the quick fix for almost every itch.
Use as directed.
We are live at the Conway Living Room for Phil and April's football party.
And what a party it is, Jim.
It's the coaching. You've really got to give Sam's Club credit. From the HDTV to the dip, they made sure the Conways were ready to go.
April's coming in with a veggie tray. Yeah. Uh-oh, they're blitzing the carrot sticks.
Oh, me, oh my. Phil bursts in with some mini weenies.
Holy little smoky.
Come to Sam's Club where you'll find great values on everything you need for your football party. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
AM 1520.
Is this how your friends and family told you they want you to stop smoking this year?
Oh boy, a present! Oh, tooth whitener and cardiodorizers.
And air fresheners?
Oh, goody. A case of breath mints. So this is your subtle way of telling me it's time to quit smoking again?
It's New Year's resolution time, and if stopping smoking is on your hit list, Laser Solutions has the absolute best way to quit. Other methods miss the mark. Nicotine patches keep you addicted to the substance you're trying to escape. Drug treatments say they'll take away cravings, but you need to try them for months, side effects and all. Laser Solutions offers one painless 20-minute treatment that immediately eliminates cravings and withdrawal. Bingo. 20 minutes and you're free. Appetite points are treated also, so weight gain is avoided. You know it's time to quit. Now you know the way. Call Laser Solutions at 627-5903 and check the web at lasersolutions.biz. Weight loss treatments are also available. 627-5903 in the yellow pages under smoking. Laser Solutions.
What is Buffalo's economic future for 2008? Will Buffalo's housing market remain stable? Why is Buffalo's real estate market still healthy while other areas suffer? Learn the answers to these questions and much more as the Buffalo Niagara Association of Realtors holds their first Economic Summit, Wednesday, February 13th at 8 a.m. at the Millennium Airport Hotel on Walden Avenue in Cheektowaga. You'll enjoy presentations by Lawrence Yoon, Chief Economist of the National Association of Realtors, and Dr. Richard Dietz, Senior Economist of the Federal Reserve Bank, and Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown. A full breakfast will be served. The BNAR will also award some great door prizes. This event is free for BNAR members and just $15 for non-members. For more information, call the BNAR at 636-9000 or go online at bnar.org. That's 636-9000 or bnar.org. Be there February 13th for the first ever Buffalo Niagara Association of Realtors Economic Summit.
Leslie Marshall here on the nationally syndicated Leslie Marshall Show of, for, and by you, the people. Mark Levine, our guest host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop. He serves up all the news the government does not want you to know. Their website, check it out, is www.radioinsidescoop.com. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome back. Should we take a call or two?
I love calls.
That sounds good. Callers, call 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Let's go to the island of Hawaii. Daily Dave joins us. Aloha, Dave. How you doing? Question or comment for Mark?
Hi, Leslie. Thank you very much. Hey, Mark. What's up?
Hey, how are you? Welcome.
Good. Thank you very much. It's been my intent to express for a long time that this administration has been losing the Iraq War on purpose. If you look back at recent history toward, like, the original debathification, how the Iraqi soldiers were sent home with their weapons and no unemployment benefits, the way that the Iraqi national treasures were just absolutely looted, there were all sorts of tiny little steps that the U.S. invasion forces made, like the 100 rules, if you recall the 100 rules that Garner put in place, like to supercapitalize the Iraqi economy.
Right. Emmer was behind a lot of that, too.
Yeah. My opinion is that this has all been done in an effort to extend the war and increase the profits for the American defense contractors and for privateers or the mercenaries. I know people hate that word, but the mercenaries that have been providing defense forces for American diplomats, can you comment on that, sir?
I try to be conservative, which may be different for a liberal, but conservative whenever I'm accusing people of malice, mostly because I don't think we need to do it. Now, I can understand, given the incredible incompetence in everything you mentioned, whether it's debathification or taking so long to set up the Iraqi government or the green zone. I mean, I can give you a whole host of things on oil and letting everything be looted, the walking around money. All those things, I agree, are so profoundly incompetent that one might well think, as you do, that this was all an intentional way to run a bad war. I'm not willing to make that step. I don't think we need to. I mean, it seems to me that when you say things like that, not that the Bush administration is incredibly incompetent and wrong, but that they're intentionally evil, then I think you lose people who might come along with you. I mean, independents and moderates and even many Republicans will agree that this war is incredibly expensive, that it's been handled incredibly incompetently, and that we can't afford the cost, and that's all we need to win elections. So I usually avoid the mouse argument, partly politically, honestly, because I'm always trying to bring more people into our coalition, and all you have to do is say it was incredibly, awfully incompetent. Now, I did mention, as you heard, that there are people profiting from this in Halliburton and otherwise, and I let people draw their own conclusions. I don't want to say it my own. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, but what that offers the architects of the war, what it offers them is what they call plausible deniability, and it keeps them from charges of treason.
Well, I think actually the best charge of treason is one laid at the feet of one Vice President Dick Cheney, and it relates to outing a CIA agent by the name of Valerie Plame Wilson. The Rosenbergs were, you know, executed for, you know, turning over names of spies and things. And I think I'd much rather, when I get to something as severe as treason, I want to deal with a very specific claim. And we have that with Dick Cheney. I'd rather go there than the problem is just you're trying
but
to get
the reality is our government will most likely never go there.
Well, that's true. And I don't think most people's minds go there. I mean, I remember Bush v. Gore, which is the thing that turned me from a Los Angeles attorney to take me to Washington to be a crusader.
Oh, is that what it took?
No, it is. That is exactly what it took. And I tell you, I was always amazed that the American people didn't see the coup d'etat there. So I'm always really loath to go too far. I think we have so much evidence of the most corrupt and incompetent administration in American history that we don't have to go farther than that to make.
I would agree, but I also think one of the reasons that the people won't do anything. Here's an example. Remember, people were screaming before Clinton was elected for national health care, right? His wife comes up with a plan. He works on it with, at the time, Donna Shalala, you know, Health and Human Services Secretary to the president at that time. You know, it goes down the tubes. And while they're putting this together, Americans start complaining. I had a friend today who emailed me who lives in New York who's a Democrat and said, Hillary or Obama? And we had this email discussion. And she said, what do you think people will do? And I said, what scares me as a liberal Democrat with a first time either woman or African American on that platform, although I'm proud of it, the Democratic platform, which it will be one of them. And I said, although Americans love change, that's the big word this year, right? They love change. When they get to the polls, many of them will vote for the white guy who's a Protestant, who's an insider in Washington, even though that's for the past year what they've said they don't want.
Well, my problem with that, Leslie, is that Obama is preaching change, but you know, and he wants to reach across the aisles and get the two parties to cooperate. As a Democrat, I would like to see them reaching out with indictments.
Well, I hear you, Dave, and also we all know that's a bunch of crap. I mean, there are always one or two or three Republicans or Democrats that break away from their party, but bipartisanship doesn't happen a hell of a lot, especially after the past 6 years has divided our country more so and even more so along lines of conservatives versus liberals and along party lines.
I find when I talk with people on my show, a lot of them, someone will call in, for example, and they'll say, I'm so mad at the Democrats. They were elected to get us out of Iraq. They've done nothing. They've caved in to the Republicans. And then that same caller will three sentences later say, why do we have so much partisanship in Washington? Why can't the parties work together and compromise to get something accomplished? And I say to that listener, you can believe the first thing, that's fine. You can believe the second thing, that's fine. You can't hold both ideas simultaneously.
Or just put a mirror up to themselves. Yeah, put a mirror up to themselves. Dave, thank you for your call. Mark, thank you for being with us. We'll have you on the show again. I look forward to that. Mark Levine, host of the Washington, D.C. radio talk show, The Inside Scoop. Check out his website, www.radioinsidescoop.com. I'm Leslie Marshall. Coming up, Hour 2, Right Wing Wacko. A great topic, your phone calls all around the bend. Don't go away.